Want to follow along with today's sermon? Now you can. Download the YouVersion Bible app, click events, and search for Crossroads Church. This app is complete with scripture, points, notes, and next steps that go along with today's sermon. No more rewinding to find the verse or point. Everything is now in the palm of your hand. Thanks for listening. Here's the message.
We're in the fourth week of the sermon series, Becoming. Everyone say Becoming. Becoming more like Christ. Becoming the person that God has called us to become. The man or the woman. The mom or the dad. The son or the daughter. Becoming is a step-by-step process. It's a journey that we take. It's an adventure. And to become more like Christ, we have to follow Christ step by step. To become more like Christ, we have to put this word into practice in our lives. To become like Christ, we have to follow Christ. We're all at different places in becoming. We're not all at the same level of becoming, are we? Some of us are way up here today. And they're wearing halos and they have great big wings on their backs, or at least they believe they do. And they might be sitting beside you. Some of us are right in the middle. And some of us are way down here at the bottom, the ones we call barely saved. But regardless of where you are on the totem pole, you're saved. Your identity is in Christ. And from the moment you decided to follow Christ, from the day you said yes to Christ, you were made new in Christ. The Bible says that. And day by day, we're being renewed. We're becoming like Christ. But for those of you that are here today and you've never said yes to Christ, you can say yes today. And you can start the process of becoming today. And as a church, we'll celebrate your new life in Christ. In fact, we have a block party planned just for you today. The title of today's sermon is Made New. Everyone say, Made New. Today we're going to talk about the times and the days that we don't feel new, even though we know through Christ and according to His Word, we are new. Can we all be honest this morning and say, there are times, there are days, there are moments where we don't feel new? I've been serving God many years, and I know, and I know, and I know that I'm a new creation in Christ. But there are days that I don't feel new. There are days where I struggle to believe that. How many of you have struggled to believe that? When you don't act or react like a new person in Christ should. When you don't think the way you should. You know those ungodly thoughts that you have. Or maybe it's the words that come out of your mouth. What you speak over your life or over your children. Or maybe it's the way you're living your life day in and day out. If any of those were you, let me see your hands. Keep them up. There's hands all over the sanctuary today. How about you, students? Have you ever struggled to believe that you're a new person through Christ? That you're a new creation through Christ? After going to camp and getting fed and excited about Christ, you come back to the real world. Life isn't as exciting anymore. Everyone isn't worshiping God like they were at camp. And you see it, right? Do you struggle to believe that you're a new person in Christ, teenagers? It's a daily struggle for many of us. It's a fight we fight. Maybe you need to be reminded today. You're not your past, ma'am. You're not what you struggle with, sir. Teenagers, you're not the mistake you made last Friday night. See, the Bible says you're a new creation in Christ. And you have to remind yourself of that over and over and over as the enemy begins to lie to you. Speak life. Maybe you're here today and you need a fresh start. Maybe you need a redo in life. Second chance. See, the good news is we don't have to stay where we are. Because through Christ, we're given a fresh start. A redo, if you may. A second chance. Hello? I'm in the middle of a sermon. I'll get back with you. See, Christ, don't mind giving us another chance, and another chance, and another one, and another one, and another one, and another one for all you stubborn knuckleheads. Right? And another one. See, the gospel says you don't have to stay where you are. You can be made new in Christ. You can be made new in Christ today. I want to start in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. So if you have your Bibles, let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Starting in verse 1. Since you have been raised with Christ, in other words, you've been given a new life, you've been saved, you've been baptized, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. And set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died. In other words, once you were saved, you died to that earthly thoughts and earthly mindset. Not that you died physically, but spiritually. You become a new being in Christ. And your life is now in Christ. Let's skip to verse 5. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed. You know, all those things that some of us continue to do. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on a new self, which is being renewed day by day, minute by minute. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day and this moment in time. God, I pray for a word of encouragement. I pray for a word of inspiration. I pray for a word of conviction. I pray for a word from the Father to speak to every heart, every mind, every life, every individual in this place today. And God, they would hear from you. And they would understand that tug at their hearts. That still small voice is from you. And that God, if they're here today and they don't know you, that they would give their hearts and their lives to you before they leave. And I pray for those seasoned veterans, Christians that's been serving you for so long, God, that may be tired, may be weary. I pray for encouragement and inspiration like never before. We honor you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. There's been many times where I was dissatisfied and even discouraged with how I responded to others. How I treat my kids. How short I was with my lovely wife. And how easily I allow my circumstances to change my perspective. Is there anyone with me? And in that moment, we tell ourselves, we have to try harder. We have to be better. We have to go to church more. I've even heard people say, I need to be more religious. But see, religion can make you better, but only Christ can make you new. We can try harder. We can try to be better, and that may make you a nicer person, and please try that. But only Christ can make you a new person. It's not about how hard we try. It's about how hard we trust. And how close we follow. In Christ, we're not just a better version of ourselves. We're a brand new version. Howard, you're no longer the old Howard. You're the new and improved Howard, and we celebrate that as a church. Where's Angie? Angie, you're not just a better person since Christ. You're a brand new person through Christ. And we celebrate that as a church. Todd, you don't just have better behavior since Christ. You have a brand new behavior through Christ. And you no longer sport that sticker on your truck that says, "Bite me," right? You've got a brand new sticker. You're the new and improved Todd, and we celebrate that as a church. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says we are a new creation in Christ. I want to read that from the NLT this morning, the New Living Translation. It says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become, everyone say become, a new person. The old life is gone, and the new life has begun. Point number one, write this down. In Christ, I am new, even when I don't feel new. So in Christ, I am new, even when I don't feel new. We're not just better people through Christ, we're what? New people. It's not just a better life, it's a new life through Christ. And some of you hear me, but you have a hard time believing that because you don't think new. You don't behave new, you don't act new. You still feel like the same old person. You feel guilty. You feel ashamed. You feel broken. You feel messed up. You feel unworthy. You have the same thoughts, the same habits, the same addictions you still struggle with day in and day out. You don't feel new. You've prayed to feel new. You've prayed that all the old would just go away, but it hasn't. And this crazy guy on the stage says, "I am new." And I guess the Bible says something about me being new, but I don't feel new, Pastor. I don't feel new. See, there's some legitimate reasons why we don't always feel new as believers. The first reason is of our past. Some of us have a jacked up past. We did things that we regret, things that we wish we would have never done. Things we got involved with that we wish we would have never got involved in. We picked up a habit that maybe a mom or a dad taught us. We struggle with our past. We carry that around. The grief, the guilt, the shame, the sin. Another reason we struggle with feeling new in Christ is because of hurt. Someone done something to you. Or maybe it was something you've done to yourself. You feel wounded. You feel betrayed. Someone let you down. It's hard for you to trust people. And I know God is speaking directly to a couple individuals right now. Another reason we don't always feel new is because of our habits. Those things that we continue to do. Those things that we continue to want to do. Those things that we still struggle with day in and day out. Week in and week out. Those thoughts. Those addictions. That lifestyle that we said that we had given up. See, sometimes our urges are stronger than our faith. And sometimes our temptations are stronger than our relationship with Christ. And we give in. We don't feel new. Like Paul said in Romans chapter 7, the things I want to do, I don't do, but the things I don't want to do, I end up doing day in and day out. Can we relate? And we seem to be trapped in these same old habits. I need everyone to hear me loud and clear. Your feelings are legitimate, but they're not the facts. I said your feelings are legitimate. They're real. But just because you feel something doesn't mean it's true. Point number two, we're not changed through feelings, we're changed through faith. I said you're not changed through your feelings, you're changed through your faith in Christ. So regardless if I feel like I'm new or not, I am new because the Bible, this word says I am new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I am a new creation in Christ. I can do all things through Christ. I am new. You need to tell yourself that. We have to live by fact. We have to live by the facts. We have to stand on the facts day in and day out. I might not feel saved today. Or maybe you feel like you don't deserve to be saved. Have you been there? But the fact is, you are saved. Ephesians 2:8, we're saved by grace through faith. We are saved. And maybe you feel like an addict this morning. But the fact is, you're an overcomer through Christ. You don't have to struggle with that addiction. You can walk away from it. Maybe you feel like you can't do anything, but you can do all things through Christ. Philippians 4:13. You have to live by the facts. Maybe you feel like a failure today. Maybe you feel unworthy. Maybe you feel defeated. But the fact is, you have the victory through Christ Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Maybe you feel like you're worthless today. But the fact is, in Psalms 139, you're priceless. You're the apple of His eye. Every day, every moment of your life was ordained by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're priceless in His sight. We have to live by the facts, not by our emotions or by our feelings. I am new, even when I don't feel new. In Christ, I am blank, even when I don't feel blank. Fill in the blanks for yourself. Let's get personal. I am saved, even when I don't feel saved. I am righteous, even when I don't feel righteous. I am beautiful, ladies, even when I don't feel beautiful, right? I am godly, even when I don't feel godly. I am an overcomer, even when I don't feel like an overcomer. I am in Christ, even when I don't feel like I'm in Christ. What is it for you? I am strong, even when I don't feel strong. I am more than a conqueror, even when I don't feel like a conqueror. I want everyone to write that down right now. In Christ, I am. And get personal. Write it. Come on. Tweet it. Post it. There's a story in Luke chapter 15. If you want to go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 15. It's a story of the prodigal son. Many of us probably know this story. This story is a parable that Jesus taught. A son decided to leave his father's estate. He wanted his inheritance. He wanted everything from his father. He wanted it right now. You know, the American way. Want it now. He wanted his full line of credit. He wanted to head out on a journey, on an adventure. And he does. He goes where he shouldn't go, been there. He does what he shouldn't do, been there. And in no time at all, his inheritance is gone. It's been wasted. And the prodigal hit rock bottom. Like some of you here today. He ended up face down in a pig's pen. Can you picture? This young, wealthy individual now living in a pig's pen. Something happened. Something went wrong. He had nothing left but slop. Dirty, filthy, far from where he belonged. Where did he belong? Back at home at the father's estate. Well, where was he living? In the pig's pen. Think about it. Let's pretend that this area right here, this circle, is the Father's estate. This is the Father's will. This is where we all belong. This is where God wants us. But yet so many times we live way over here, way away from where God wants us, far from where we should be. With our face against the wall. Maybe this is because of years and years and years of abuse from a parent. Maybe it was a spouse. Maybe it was because of years and years of addictions. Maybe it was because of a mistake you made. Maybe a wrong choice. Maybe it was through a bad breakup, a divorce. Maybe it's because you blame God for allowing something to happen to you that shouldn't have happened to you. And you're angry with God. So you're out of the Father's will. You're away from home. And maybe you're over here in a pig's pen because you're angry with God for what you believe He took someone away from you. A family member. Someone you loved dearly. But God, you could have stopped it. Why did you allow this, God? But see, the good news is, and the gospel news is, we don't have to stay here in a pig's pen. The good news is we can come home to the Father. The good news is we can go back to the estate. The good news is we can go back to the Father's will. And that's the gospel news. Because the gospel says you don't have to stay where you are. You can be made new in Christ today. You can come home. See, there's some of you here today that need to come home. There's some of you that need to let go of the old. Step away from the pig pen, if you may. Come home. Luke chapter 15, verse 17. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your servants.' So he got up and he went to his father." See, the prodigal came to his senses. In other words, he woke up. Some of you need to wake up this morning. Some of you need to come to your senses. Have you ever woke up from a bad dream? And you felt horrible, angry, defeated. And even though it was a bad dream, you carried those feelings into the day. Right? Anyone? Just me? A few months back, Tammy was having a bad day. You could say she wasn't in the best of moods. She was like, no touchy. Stay away. Nothing I did was right. Nothing I said was right. So I'm racking my brain. I must have done something to make her angry at me. What did I do? What did I say? Did I forget something? It's not her birthday. It's not her anniversary. It's not that time of the month. What is it? So I go to the kids. I'm like, "What did I do, guys? You got to help me out. Did I say something?" And they're like, "Dad, we don't know. Why are you asking us? Go to mom." So I work up the courage to approach this ferocious tiger, now with claws. And you know, on my knees, crawling, bowing. What did I do, sweetie? And she just begins to unload on me. You did this and you did that. And here's the worst part, church. Everything I did and everything I said was in her dream the night before. I did nothing. But I'm in trouble. That's not right. So the prodigal wakes up. But it's not a bad dream, it's reality. He's not where he belongs. He doesn't belong in a pig's pen. He belongs back at the father's estate, right? He doesn't belong with the pigs, he belongs with the father. Why? Because he's the father's son. But here he is in a pig's pen. Dirty, filthy, stinky. I'm probably bringing up some unwanted memories for Isaac of middle school youth camp. Stinky, dirty teenagers. I'm probably bringing up some unwanted memories for some of you. When you woke up in a place you didn't belong, doing something you wish you would have never done. You got involved in something you wish you would have never got involved in. He didn't belong in the pig pen. He belonged back at the estate with the father. And you don't belong in a pig's pen. And I know your life's a mess, some of you. And I know you regret some decisions you've made. And I know life has threw you some curveballs and things that shouldn't have happened. And I know life can be difficult and things can come against us. But the good news is you don't have to stay there. See, the Father has a much better plan for your life. The Father's heart breaks. And I know some of us, we blame God for allowing things, but God can control all things, but He doesn't control all things in a way that we're robots. He doesn't control people's decisions and people's choices. He lets us have free will to choose whatever we want to do. And what was done to you was not done because the Father allowed it. It's because someone sinned against you. It's because we live in a fallen world with hate and cruel people at times. But the Father's will is for you to be back home at the estate. Renewed, saved, redeemed, blessed, and favored in His sight. Just like the prodigal didn't belong in the pig pen, we don't belong in our sin. We belong in redemption. We don't belong in the old, we belong in the new. We don't belong in the past, we belong in the present. We don't belong in our addictions. And let me say this, you don't belong to your addiction. You belong to redemption. You don't belong to your hurt, ma'am, you belong to healing. We don't belong to the old habits. According to this word, we belong to the new habits in Christ. We don't belong in a pig pen. We belong where? Why are we living in a pig pen? Come on, answer. Let's go to verse 20. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. Does everyone know who's the players in this verse? See, the Father is God. The Son is you and I. And the Father saw the Son and he had compassion on him. And he ran to his Son. He threw his arms around him and he kissed him. Remember where he just came from, though. The Father had to... air hug, son. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. And let's have a feast and celebrate because my son has come home. Point number three, I still belong to Christ even when I fail to belong. I said, you still belong to Christ even when you fail to belong. Can we think about, or can we imagine the son's state as he comes home? Can you think about what he looked like? He had to be covered in filth. He had to smell really, really bad. He had to be dirty. But he didn't belong in a pig's pen. He belonged at the Father's estate. Why? Because he's the Father's son. If we could ask the son this morning how he felt in this moment, I bet he would say, I didn't feel like a son. I don't feel like I belong here at this estate. I don't feel like I deserve to be forgiven. And talking to believers, I hear this all the time. I know I'm new in Christ, Pastor. I believe the Bible, but I just don't feel new. I know I was forgiven on that day, but I don't feel forgiven because of last night, last week, and this thing that I continue to struggle with. And I know that I was set free from all of this, but I don't feel free. I feel bound. Bound to my past, to my addiction. See, we belong to Christ, but we don't always act like we belong. But watch this, the Father shows up. He takes his best robe. It's a white robe. It's the most valuable robe. It's priceless. And he takes that robe and he places it over the son, and it covers his filth. Covers his shame. It covers his past. It covers his mistakes. It covers his sin. Everything is covered. See, we're the son. You and I are that son. And some of us still reek of last night's decision. Some of us still reek of last week's decision. Some of us still reek of choices we made months ago. But regardless of how you feel or what you've done, you're still the son. And you belong to Christ. So regardless of how you feel, you're a child of God. You're a child of God. We have to remember that. See, the Father is standing to what seems like a distance. But if we could look through the lens of His holy word, we would understand that the Father is standing holding a white robe. A white robe for all of us. A robe to cover our filth, to cover our shame, to cover our sin, to cover our addictions, to cover our past, to cover our habits. See, the Father's holding a white robe today. It's a robe of righteousness. A robe that we don't possibly deserve. A robe that we could never earn. But it's a robe that He's ready to clothe us with. A robe of righteousness. He wants to clothe each and every one of us this morning. See, it's by grace that we receive. It's through faith that we receive the robe. It was the same day that the son went from living in a pig's pen to living back at the Father's estate. It was the same day, the same exact day that he went from wearing dirty, filthy rags to being clothed with a robe of righteousness. Come on, get a picture of it. It was the same day that he went from feeding from a pig trough to feasting at the Father's table. It was the same exact day. If you belong to Christ, if you've given your heart and your life to Christ, regardless of how you feel, you're forgiven. Regardless if you feel like you deserve to be forgiven, if you ask for it, the Bible says we are forgiven, regardless. It was the same day. This white robe represents a robe of righteousness. Regardless of where you are or how you feel today, the Father, no matter what your past looks like, the Father is ready to clothe you with a robe of righteousness. Covers you up just like that. Regardless of your hurts today, the Father has a white robe just for you to cover you. Regardless of the habits that you struggle with, your temptations, the addictions that you fight on a daily basis, the Father is ready to clothe you today. And the robe covers our filth. The robe covers our past. The robe covers our hurts. The robe covers our habits, our sin. There's some of you here today that need to be clothed with a robe of righteousness. In verse 24 it says, "For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost, but now he's found." So the Father says, let's celebrate. Let's throw the party of all parties. And this communicates value. This is how much we mean to the Father. No matter what the son had done with his inheritance, the Father received him and welcomed him back home. In verse 10 of the same chapter, it says the angels in heaven celebrate when one person comes home. And I want you to picture this morning. The angels are sitting on the edge of their seats, anticipating someone or some people coming home. The angels are anticipating someone giving their heart and their life to Christ this morning. I want everyone to move to the front of their seats like you're sitting on the edge of your seat. Come on, right now, just humor me. Sit on the edge of your seat, just like the angels in heaven, just like the Father. And imagine that your son or daughter had just come home, or they were on their way in the door after being gone for years and years and years, and you're ready to celebrate. You're ready to give them a great big hug. You're ready to throw that party of all parties. Imagine your son or daughter is about to receive an award. They're about to be crowned king. Imagine they're about to graduate from high school or college. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Imagine that your son or daughter has been abducted. They've been missing for years and years. But you got word that they've been found and they're about to be delivered back to you in your arms. What kind of anticipation would you have? What kind of celebration would go on? What kind of party would you throw? See, that's what the Father feels when one comes home. When one person gives their heart and their life to Christ, he's sitting on the edge of his seat, ready to throw that party, ready to clothe them in a robe of righteousness, ready to hug them. So right now, I'm going to invite some of you that don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior to come home. I'm going to invite you to open up your heart and your mind to Christ. put on this robe of righteousness. And in the spirit realm, we know that the angels and the Father is throwing and ready to throw a party. So is there anyone here today? I want you to really evaluate this question. Is there anyone here today that doesn't know Christ as their Lord and Savior? You've never given them your heart. You've never given them your life. Or maybe you've walked away. If that's you and you're ready to come home, I'm going to invite you to come home. So right now, if that's you, I want you to just stand up. It's going to take some boldness. I'm going to ask you to meet us up here at the altar. Is there anyone ready to come home?